Okay, thank you, lady. Okay, I'm gonna find out what that lady's name is. Give her a call. All right, everybody.
Siri.
Siri, okay. All right, 13th chapter, Revelation. Have your Bible, please turn there. And again, we're gonna try to finish this chapter today, and we will not go, whatever time we finish, we'll finish, because we're not gonna go into the 14th chapter. We'll start that after the first of the year, because I don't want to start that and then be two weeks out. So, because it's a wonderful, well, it's all wonderful, but one of the things I would always say at the beginning of the 14th chapter, I hope will reaffirm to you the reality of the millennium that's coming and what God's going to do. So we went through verse 15 last week. And we talked about, again, we're talking about the second beast here, the second beast who has holds a position of the third person of the unholy Trinity. I just use that term for you. He is the false prophet. He is the one that requires everybody to worship the first beast, and by same token, worship the dragon. Okay, So we have this one who draws people. Now, he has been given power. Say, well, where'd that power come from? Again, it would come from the dragon. The same way that the first beast has power, the Antichrist has power, the false prophet has power that's given to him. It's a cult. It's paranormal. It's demonic. And by the way, it's allowed by God. So sometimes that offends our senses, doesn't it? Why would you do that?
Yes.
You know, but if we really believe in the sovereignty of God, we also have to believe that for these kind of things to happen, it has to be allowed by Him. I mean, I've thought about it. Lord, why don't you just wipe this guy out right from the beginning? But God has a great plan, and it's part of that great mystery, I think, that Paul talks about. And every once in a while, God gives us a glimpse of what He's doing and how He's doing it and stuff. And we say, oh, I can see how that works. And other things we won't know till we get to heaven. And then when we get to heaven, I'm not sure we'll care about it.
Yes.
So, but anyway, so this unholy false prophet, which I would say to you, will be the leader of the end times church. Okay. We're moving toward, and you can see it today, one world government. That's one world political authority. Now, within that, don't ever forget, that doesn't mean they're not still going to be regional things, because I've told you, I believe the 10 toes are regional things, but they will be under Antichrist eventually. But they will be regional, okay? I remind you that speaking of nationalism in any way, okay, or being patriotic in any way, has become passé. As a matter of fact, it's become, you're labeled almost as a racist if you say, well, I'm proud to be an American. You know, that's not allowed. And it's going to become less allowed as we move across. They're pushing it, and you can see it. We're not ignorant of these things. The Bible says you're not ignorant of the times that you live in. Okay. But again, I remind you, God has us. So don't fret that. But we can see that we're being pushed toward globalism. It's not only, as we talked about, remember the three legs of the Babylonian system that we talked about? Political, economic, and religious. Can't you see it happening today? Political, economic, and religious. I mean, these are the primary pushes that we see. What's your new? Well, don't stay off the news. I'm not, do what you want to do, but but just watch what's being promoted. It is these three things. And these three things are being driven or pushed to being global, no longer regional, but global. I find it interesting that even in the teaching of a lot of churches and a lot of pastors, the emphasis of what they would call the universal church has replaced the New Testament emphasis of the local church. Now, certainly, I believe the church is bigger than a local congregation, but I also believe that primarily that Jesus works through that. I mean, you are part of a family, a local congregation. Okay? And God, I believe God intended for that local church to be the vessel that he used wherever he chose to put them to share the gospel where he's put them.
Amen.
That doesn't say that there's not a church. The church is not. There is a universal church, but it was never intended to have a universal head on this earth except for Jesus Christ. That makes sense to everybody? But that where we're being pushed toward that today. And part of the work of the Antichrist will be to bring about that political and economic globalism, and the work of the false prophet will be to bring that global religious system. And I believe he will be the head of that. Mary.
So a few sentences back, you made a very strong, definitive statement.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that you correct that for our ears. You said you can no longer be patriotic. You can't do that anymore. It's not acceptable. And we know what you were saying.
Okay.
But you do need to clarify. We are welcome to be patriotic.
Oh, yeah, you are.
And we should be patriotic. Just you will know the consequences. You just have to be aware that you may receive consequences. But also to understand our nation's history and how our real nation's history and how the nation was founded on Christian principles, we need to go ahead, especially in our family and friends, reaffirm that to one another.
Yes. And that's a statement that I make in the same thing. It's no longer acceptable for you to be a follower of Jesus Christ or believe the Bible. I don't mean that you can't do that. Thank you. I don't mean that you can't do it. I mean it's not acceptable in society any longer. That's what I mean.
We do it anyway.
Yeah, you're going to keep. Well, you need to be who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, but understand there are consequences. Every decision we make has consequences. So remember that. It's okay if those consequences are a result of us following the Lord. Should be okay to us.
Oh, you didn't mention the hostages. Did you hear the story?
Yeah, that they're free, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How? Did you hear how?
No.
They escaped. They're not paying ransom. God spoke to them and gave them a time and a place, and they walked out the door and walked through the night using stars to follow, you know, to a mountain that they were headed at. They escaped. They did not. No one went in and rescued them. No ransom was paid.
Wow.
It's an awesome story. Look it up. It'll be all over the news. Well, it'll be on the secular news, but it'll be on.
It's on the Christian news.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's kind of, yeah. I'm not sure why they went and crushed her. They could have been rescued easily right from the go. But anyways. All right. Let's go into the scripture, starting with verse 16. First of all, the occult power you see here, that's the occult power to make this image speak and do all kinds of things that he says there in verse 15 we talked about last week. And he has authoritative power here upon the earth, because what's it say? It says, and caused as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So from a human perspective, he will have ultimate power here on earth, which is the penalty for you not doing what I command you to do is death. I want to remind you that if you think about this, the requirement to worship someone's God, or the penalty to worship someone's God being death, is a continuation of the occult in this world. And there have been those, even in the organized church, I want to clarify that the organized church that have killed people in history because they did not worship the same way they did, and the same way Islam does it, and the same way pretty much every group has done that. Even the Jews did that, remember? That's how Stephen was killed. So it's not an uncommon thing for humanity to kill people in the name of their God. Okay, and what he will do here is again, and by the way, he will be lauded, he will be celebrated by the world as a whole for doing this, because it cleans up the contentious ones, you know, removes them. Remember, these will be tribulation saints who have come to faith in Jesus Christ in the tribulation and who cannot and will not worship the beast or the image of the beast. Now we move on to verse 16. Now we see that this false prophet is not only going to have religious power, he's not only going to have the occult power doing lying signs and wonders. He's not only going to have power through the government, if you will, at that time, to take lives of those who do not submit to his authority. But now we see that he has power to put restraints upon people and put requirements upon people. And that's what we see in verse 16. It says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads. Okay? Marked, this is not the first time we've seen this mark term used in the book of Revelation. You might remember the first time we saw this used? I remember?
Well, I know the
144,000. That's the one. The 144,000. Because when we read about the 144,000, it says they received a mark. They were marked by God. They were clearly identified as God's men. We'll talk about them in 2 weeks again. She gets the star. So they are marked. So that mark speaks of an identification. Okay, that mark speaks clearly of a, if I can put it this way, an ownership. Well, for those 144,000, who owns them? Well, God does. They're marked, they're identified with God, and they're protected by God, they're held by God. Now we have another mark here. This mark identifies them with who? The answer would be Antichrist.
Like a brand.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Now, think about this. This has a Jewish inference. Going back to the Old Testament and the Pentateuch and when you see what's called the Shema, Deuteronomy, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Then it goes on down to say, and you shall place this truth or these words, these truth before your forehead, and you will wrap them around your arm. Now, if you meet an Orthodox Jewish person today, and you go over to Israel and you stand by the Western Wall there, you'll see them all over the place. And they will have a little box that they wear, tie around their head right there. In there is the Shema. It's the scripture. And then you will, if you look at their right arm, you'll see that it is tightly wrapped by a leather, what am I say? It's not like a belt, strap. It's leather stripped. And I mean, it's tightly wrapped. And it reminds them. The pain, you know how people, we humans do things. The pain reminds them of who they are and whose they are. Okay? So this identifying thing on the right hand and on the forehead goes all the way back to that. Okay? Now, when we talk about the mark here, this mark we find, again, how would John look at it in first century? How would he comprehend this in the first century? We clearly see that he comprehends it as an identifier stuff. How would we comprehend this today? How would a mark regulate everything? Okay. Now, if you were just a group living in a city and nothing else, you could control that by saying, "Oh, you've got the mark. Here, you can do this and stuff." But we live in a time of high technology. So how do they control everything through this mark? Now, how many, you know, I don't want to get anybody's business, but let me just say, those who've had the COVID vaccine, you were given a little piece of paper. On that little piece of paper, someone jotted down the day that you got it and put their initials on it. Now, that's about as unofficial as you can probably get, because I watched a guy do it, and if I wanted to, I could do it myself. Okay, I could put in that information and stuff like that. How do you make sure? I mean, you really cannot make sure by a card. Anybody can get a card. It can be counterfeit and stuff. Yes. So the same thing with how do you control economic things? That's what he says here. Is that free of trade? Look at verse 17. That no one may be able to buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, so the number of his name is an interesting thing. He'll talk about 666, and we'll talk about in a moment. But the number of his name, again, goes beyond just the name. It goes beyond the mark. It talks about having more information in-depth information. So once again, how do you do that? We live in a time where it's not hard. Matter of fact, when you talk about, and I believe a lot of things will move this. My opinion has changed over time because I could not conceive, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't conceive of a virus or something like that that could also be used for this. And not that I think that COVID is the thing, but we can see how easily people can be moved toward this. So how do you know that someone has been vaccinated? For sure. Well, you have some sort of mark or some sort of identifier that's on them wherever they go. How do you make sure that people don't steal someone's credit card misuse, which happens all the time? Well, once again, you make sure that the ability to buy, sell, or trade is on something that's on them and cannot be counterfeit. Or at least that's the push. And I think we're heading toward that time.
It actually be a pretty easy sell.
Oh, it's not going to be a difficult thing. Except for those who have some awareness, okay? It's not going to be a difficult thing because, again, through time we see things change and we say, oh, that 20 years ago, that could never happen.
Never.
You know, and so they'd have to tie people down and hold their head down and force this chip or tube thing or whatever it could be in their head. Nope, nobody would take that on their body. And now I guarantee you people will be lining up to take it on their body. You know, because again, propaganda is pretty powerful. And once again, the lie is pretty powerful. You base this upon a lie, and then you manipulate people with the lie that you base upon. You know, again, I've told you before, COVID is, it exists, it can hurt people, all these things are true and stuff like that. It's not the fact that COVID is here. It's the fact of what they're trying to do with COVID. That's what you have to look at. Okay. Michelle.
I'm just thinking about all the stuff that's going on in our society today that we've come to accept that tracks us.
Yes.
I mean, our credit cards track everything we buy.
Everything you do. Your phone. Your phone that is smarter than you.
Yeah.
Our computers track everything.
By the way, think about the phone. You know, I turn off my location on my phone. I'm here to tell you, it does no good.
What's that?
That little button that says your location, it does no good. The moment you look up an address, they know where you're at. It's kind of crazy.
It's in your car, too.
You got your car's that way. And think about this. You buy something, or you even look at something to buy.
Yeah.
And on your social media, it pops up there
right
away. It is an interesting time that we live in. Sue?
Well, two things. First of all, you said people would be lining up. And my husband just told me this yesterday that in New York City, the people are so freaked out that they're lining up for more vaccines because of Omicron, which is crazy. But anyway, because they say Omicron doesn't kill people, it spreads easier, but it's, you know, whatever. The second thing I want to ask you is this beast, is that the prophet? I want to make sure I have this correct in my mind.
Is what now?
Is the beast that's mentioned in 15 and 17 a false prophet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
The image is going to be of the
Antichrist? It's all going to be, let me put it this way. Remember I said we have a false trinity here. So if one's doing it, they're all doing it. Okay? If I was asked you, who created the universe? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What would your answer be?
All of us.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Who raised Jesus from the dead? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yes. Okay. So in that sense, remember, they're mimicking God. This is going to be a unified thing with these three.
The answer is yes.
Yes. So what the false prophet's doing, he's doing it under the authority of the Antichrist, who's doing it under the authority of the dragon. So in essence, they're all doing it together. It's all the program. It's all what's going to happen to her. Okay? So
but the image itself is supposed to be of...
The image will be of Antichrist.
Okay.
The image will be of Antichrist. That's what he says.
Okay.
Yeah. Dave.
Actually, I mentioned this to you before, but... So right now, in this time period, you know, I agree with you and other godly leaders that we're living perhaps in the shadow of the tribulation to come.
Yeah.
But right now, we're told to, that God will protect us, that the gates of hell won't prevail against the Gospels. That we should obey the authorities, you see, that are above us. So my statements of concern are that we as Christians don't become over disobedient or conspiratorially mindset during this time period. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. And there really is a balance on all that. So that's why I like you using the term overly. There is a balance on all that. There are things that our government, I mean, when he says to be responsive to government or to be submissive to government, that is never in reference. That is never in reference for us to do ungodly things.
No.
So there is a balance in all that. You know, it's the same thing when we talk about wives submit to your husbands. Okay. That's never meant to be let your husband beat you half to death. You know what I'm saying? So the overall time in which we live, we are to be responsive. But we would all say, you know, to go into, remember the, I know we all remember the Iron Curtain time and stuff like that. And we have a man by the name of Brother Andrew who carried Bibles into the, and that's against the law. So someone could argue, some Christian could, I mean, you can become overly the other way. He shouldn't have done that because he broke the law of that government. Well, wait a minute. We know that supernaturally God hid those Bibles from their eyes. You read the story, it's amazing. God, and he got those Bibles into the Iron Curtain country, and those people got to read about Jesus. So who's right there? You know, our government says it's okay to kill babies. So do we kill babies? Do we join them in that? You know, what about when they say you can't speak about killing babies any longer, Pastor? Am I going to respond to that? The answer is no, I'm not going to respond to that. So there is always a provision, if I might put it, there's always a provision for what we call civil disobedience, even in the Bible. So what it means is, and it goes back to what Mary said earlier, that if we need to stand and be who God has called us to be, understanding that there could be a price to pay, just like the disciples had to make that decision. What did Peter say? Do I obey God or do I obey man? Paul said, do I seek to please men or do I seek to please God? So there will come a time when that line is there. I think in our time too, Dave, I think we're moving very swiftly toward that time. But I don't consider it to be the tribulation time. But, it is interesting how to find that balance. Because even Paul, when he said something, remember in the book of Acts, he said something against the high priest and they smacked him and said, how dare you speak to the high priest that way? And Paul said, I apologize. I did not know I was speaking to the high priest. So there was some response there. Yet later on, when he kept talking about him, he didn't seem any softer to me, but he did recognize his thing. So it is a balanced thing there and stuff. Romans chapter 13 is not just a carte blanche statement that says you Christians just fall in line and do whatever your government says to do. But it is a call to recognize that every government, even the ones we don't like, exist under the at least permissive will of God. And that's a hard thing for us sometimes. So.
Okay, thank you.
When we come here, though, back to our passage here, look at the control that they will have. Now, again, maybe we could conceive in an Old Testament Judah where John was, maybe even the region there around the Mediterranean Sea. You could think, well, he could even maybe visualize somehow that they could control them. But you see, we don't live in that limited area. How do you control people globally? How do you know where what people are doing, what they're involved in, what they're buying, whether they can buy or not, whether they can get medical attention? I mean, think about the impact of what we're talking about. You can't buy, sell, or trade or do anything unless you carry that mark of the beast. Now, I have relatives who live in California, the socialist state of California over there, and they live in the San Francisco area, and they came over here and they enjoyed the breath of fresh air. You know what? Freedom we take for granted until we lose it, or until it's at least partially taken. And then when we get to breathe that free air again, we go, wow, I miss this. That's the way my cousins were. They were in San Francisco. Listen, they cannot, they cannot go into a restaurant in San Francisco, California, unless, first of all, they show their papers.
Yeah.
They cannot. And they certainly cannot go in without a face covering. But even without the face covering, they have to show they're valid. And notice here, we're beyond the first two shots. We're moving toward second and third boosters. You see, and you cannot, we're moving toward that time where you cannot, unless you're willing. I want to share with you later. I want to take Teresa somewhere. And they said at the Herberger Theater, you have to prove your vaccination status to go in there. Now, again, I'm not saying that's the mark of the beast. What I am saying to you is it clearly to me is preparatory in the sense of getting society to submit to such
control.
Yeah, well, control. And if you look here again, this these two verses, 16 and 17, are all about control. They're all about control.
Look how willingly people lined up for the jab.
Yeah.
And I that's their decision, and I stand by that. But we're so willing, and I thought that is a precursor only of what is to come.
Yeah, and that would be my point. I don't think this is it, but if we believe, and I don't mean, I'm not talking about conspiracy, but if we believe that the God of this age is moving toward what we read here, again, it's not going to happen overnight. That's why I think Jesus tells us we're aware of the times, and we should be aware of the times. But the same way I would say to people when we started COVID, don't let fear drive you. Okay? I would say to Christians in the times that we live in, don't let fear drive you either. Don't let fear drive you. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Hey.
Mr. Tony, thank you for letting me ask you. See, that's a good application of what I'm trying to think about. Is like right now, if the state of Arizona said you had to show your vaccination to get into restaurants, what should be our Christian response? Because here's what I think is that Satan wants to get us diverted. Like maybe some Christians say, oh, no, because we know what's coming. This is the mark of the beast. You know, it's coming. So we're going to stand back. We refuse to get vaccinated. We're going to protest against this. And we're going to, you know, and on and on and on. And I'm saying, no. I say I just show my vaccination card and get busy about sharing the gospel. I'm not going to get diverted.
I would say that if that's your leadership, I would say do that. But you know, part of me is this: the highest law of this land is the Constitution.
Is what?
Is the Constitution? It is not the local administration putting these regulations and requirements on. There's something in me, and it may be wrong, I'm not going to say it. There's something in me that says, I'm going to submit to what I agreed to submit to and what I think is the highest law of the land. So that could get me in some, I understand that. But, you know, anyways, I've had COVID. My body should be filled with antibodies. Continual boosters to me, make very little sense.
That's right.
Even if someone tells me you need to get the shot. Well, what about when they tell you to get the shot for sterilization? What do they tell you? Line up your old people. So we're going to, I know I'm not trying to be hyperbolous, but I'm just saying, you know, sometime there may come a time when we have to draw. And I understand that Christians draw the line at different places. And here's what I would say. Be very careful. No matter what side you're on in this, be very careful. You don't start judging your brothers and your sisters by the decision that they make as we move toward this time. Either way, it's so easy to do that. And then you seclude yourself from the very people we're going to need, the family of God we're going to need as we walk through this time. Part of the division I see happening is exactly what we're talking about right now. If you can get followers of Jesus Christ to be divided, and I'm not talking about just different opinions. I'm talking about being divisive to the part of, I don't like what he or she said. I don't like what he or she did. I'm not talking about doctrinal things, but in what's going on here. So I'm not going to hang around those people anymore. You don't think that's a dangerous thing? I do. I do. Look at the first century. Paul was a Roman. Okay. Do you not think that caused him some problems and when the Jews met and stuff like that? But when the church came together, the whole point of that was, you know, we have the Jewish people, we have the Gentile people, and the body of Christ is one. Don't let what's happening today divide the body of Christ. It's not a reason to divide over. It's not a reason to get mad at a brother or sister in Christ. It's not a reason to lecture a brother or sister in Christ in these matters. And certainly, it's not a matter to accuse them of being have a lack of faith or being unbiblical. I think we have to be very careful on those things. Very careful. And I see it happening a lot. Not so much in our church, but I've seen it happen a lot where people are, I mean, it's like they've already got the mark. Oh, you got the mark. You did that. You got the mark. You didn't do that. You got to be careful then.
Yeah, a couple of quick things. First, you've had COVID. Jane and I have had COVID. We were fully vaccinated. We were about a month away from getting our boosters. Doctor tells us, you don't want a booster. Stay away from a booster. You've got too many antibodies in your, not too many, but you know what I mean, you're fully. He's saying no. So if it comes to that, we can't, they'll get there. You haven't had your booster, your vaccination is over a year old, you don't have your booster, you can't get on a plane. So we're getting there. New York, mask only in restaurants effective. But one of the last parted shots by de Blasio. You can't go in to eat in your vaccination certificate.
No, so for life, I think Satan is so skilled in strategy. Because here we are, and again, I'm not just opinion. We're talking all about this COVID thing. And you know, in San Francisco, it was just in the Epic Times, in 2020, there were four times the number of overdose deaths as there were COVID deaths. Four times.
It's not, I think we have to be careful because I don't think we're talking about COVID. I don't think that that's the issue. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I don't think that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about COVID. We're talking about the use of it change society. They don't care about the fentanyl thing because that doesn't affect America as a whole. I'm talking about most of our homes and stuff. It's a horrible thing. But I think what we have to be careful, and this one I'm going to get to it again, because I think if we keep it at the level of COVID, not COVID, vaccinated, not vaccinated, okay, I think we Satan is winning.
Yes.
I think we have to understand, know the times you live in, Christian, know what's happening. And what you decide to do on your own personal thing is yours, but keep it out of my life and I'll keep mine out of your life. But understand what the enemy is doing. And I'm going to say it again, not only doing out in this world, but doing in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Because we begin to judge others by these things, which are side issues. They are side issues. Whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, whether you believe COVID came from this side, those are side issues. It's what he's trying to do with them. So the issue is not that. And I think, you know, anyways, we're gonna move on from there because I don't want us. It always seems to go back to, should I be vaccinated? Should I not be vaccinated? I want you to open your eyes to see where the world's heading. That's the whole reason of this Bible study. Where is the world heading? And I would again say, but don't be driven by where the world's headed. Follow the Holy Spirit, stay in the Word. You know where it's going, you know. And so there has to be, let's go back to that. There has to be worldwide control. There has to be. My point is, how do they facilitate that? How do you facilitate worldwide control? Which John could not have fully comprehended at that time on a global scale we're talking about today. But we, again, know we have, there's technology. We've already said it. There's technology that we carry around with us every day that gives more information about you and I than you. And it's instantaneous. I always like to say, when Teresa and I started out in the 80s and stuff, bought our first home together in the early 80s, it was 2 weeks to a month before they could say, yeah, you qualify. And now they'll tell you you're qualified in 30 seconds, if not faster than that. Where do they get all that information? They're still using the same information. How do they get it? You guys remember when there was no computers? You remember when the first one came out? You sit there and you sit there and you sit there trying to boot up. And then you want to type something. It takes forever and stuff like that. And now, here's what I can tell you. I really believe the technology they have today is far greater than our minds conceive and the technology that we're experiencing right now. That's in your hand and my hand. It's just an amazing time that we live in. And it makes it possible. That's my point. It makes it possible for there to literally be global control on the three legs that I've just talked about: political, economic, and religious. That's the point. And how we're moving there is what we got to keep our eyes open on. And again, not saying everything is what it is. Don't let the news tell you that this is something. Wait and see what the scripture does. And I got three hands up, so.
Finally, when I went to Sweden, in New Jersey, I had to have a COVID test, which was $300, or they wouldn't let me get on Scandinavian Airline. Mm-hmm. When I got into Sweden, I had to take another COVID test to prove that I could get back on that plane. Yeah. And right after I left, they shut off all foreign travelers.
Yeah.
I mean, I made it by 2 days.
And once again, the point is, you see the ability to control society. That's the issue. That's the issue. It's always been the issue. You're either controlled by the Spirit of God or you're controlled by the spirit of this age. Either you're a follower of Jesus Christ or you're under control of Satan. And Satan has always been sly. He's always been devious.
It comes right down to us.
It certainly does.
It's what we want. We want control.
Yeah. And Satan doesn't mind that long as he's not following the Lord. Let's go back here.
There are cameras on every lighthouse.
Yes, there are.
Cameras. They have software to do facial recognition and to do license plate
recognition. Bigger pitch than mine.
When did those cameras go? I don't ever remember seeing one getting installed. There are millions of them.
Yeah. Well, there's cameras and there's also readers that read. Yep. Love that little chip on your credit card? Got to go in the thing. Oh, it doesn't.
A few years back, they talked about giving children a chip under their
skin. For safety.
For safety.
Like we do dogs. Like we do dogs.
What's the narrative?
And you think about part of the narrative today is, and it's not a narrative that doesn't have basis, that is these children who are being stolen and taken different places and stuff. And, you know, when you're afraid of that, you know, you might not have any problem doing that.
I was going to say how fast, and you've alluded to it, how fast this is coming. And we all can see that. And I think it doesn't go back to Daniel's thing. It will come like a flood.
Yes. Yeah. You're exactly right. And that's the imagery that he used there. All right. Let's try to finish up this chapter. So I'm going to say it again. If you walk out of here mad at your brother or your sister because of something they said here, then you've just bought into the thing. Be careful, guys. Be careful. All Satan wants to do, all he ever has wanted to do, is to destroy the church.
Yeah.
And the church is not And when we talk about unity, it doesn't mean we're going to, everybody's going to see everything exactly the same way. That's not what he means. He means we have unity in Christ. You are my brother, you are my sister, and that's bigger and more important than anything happening in this world today.
Yeah, amen.
So we see this mark, and you see the control. That's my point of verse 17. How that's going to come about, again, we're going to see. I think we'll at least get a glimpse of it. I hope we're out of here for, again, my hope is that we're out of here before it all kicks in fully. Okay. Then verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Here is his number, 666. Now, I know you're probably sitting there, Tony, tell us what 666 means. I cannot tell you what I do not know. And nor can any other prophecy teacher that, you know, 666 has been Nixon. It has been Gorbachev. It has been Carter. It has been
It was Hitler.
It was Hitler. Yeah, we can go right on down the list of all that they, someone has manipulated. You've probably seen a book called The Bible Code. And supposedly it goes back and you read different things, and the Bible reveals things that are going to happen by a code and stuff like that. Listen, the Bible has so many words in it, you can make a code to make it say whatever you want to say. Should we not be worried about, you shouldn't be worried about numerology, you should not be worried about hidden codes, you should not be worried about, God didn't write this as a hidden code, God wrote it to you so you could understand. And I've said it before, we need to be very careful that we don't say, this is what it means when the Bible doesn't tell us what it means. So what is clear? Well, what is clear with this number or this terminology you use here is everything that's going to happen will be contrary to God. It will be based upon man. Now, I want you to, with the few minutes we have left, I want you to go back and remember in the book of Daniel. This is so important. The book of Daniel. I want you to remember the dream that God gave Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the dream that God gave Nebuchadnezzar correlates with the vision that God gave Daniel. Remember the animals? Okay. But God chose to give Nebuchadnezzar a different type of dream with the same message. And remember, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't even saved at this time, of course. He was not a believer, but God gave him this dream. God used that to catapult Daniel, but he also gave a message here. Remember the multi-metallic image that God gave Nebuchadnezzar. And he told him, after when Daniel did the interpretation, the head of gold, the pure gold, that's you. That's Babylon. Okay? Now, as time moves on, the mineral or the material is less. It lessens or deteriorates. So we have the gold. Then he says, after you will come the silver of arms and the chest. Okay? Two arms represent the Medes and the Persians. They will come after you. And after them will come the abdomen, and that part will be of brass. And who will that be? Well, that will be the Greeks and Alexander. After Alexander will come the legs of iron. And who are the legs of iron? Well, it's a Roman Empire. Okay. And the two... Remember what happened to the Roman Empire? You have the East and you have the West. Okay. After that will come the feet that are of iron and clay mix, which represents the last one to come, the last world power to come. Okay. Kind of interesting if you think about it. There has not literally been, it's been tried a couple of times. There has not been a literal known world power since the Roman Empire. You see, even our own country, which we might have had the technology to do, that's not a part of who we are. We don't want to conquer lands. Now, Britain tried to do it. They're trying to make everything so the sun did not set on the British Empire. Okay, but they didn't accomplish that. They had a big problem with a place called America. It's part of that, but they didn't get that accomplished. But it's going to come back. There's one last great world empire to exist, and we're reading about it right now. Now, here's my point. At that time of that last empire, the 10 toes, the iron and the clay mix, it says, and I saw this stone, not cut by the hands of man, come out of the sky, and to hit that image at the feet, and everything on that image crumbled. That image represents every empire that's tried to exist apart from God. Every empire that has rejected God. All the endeavors of man to create something that without God, something that will last. And not a one of them lasted. You notice that. Neither will the last one. So when I look at this number 666, getting back to what I talked about, for me, I'll just share what, for me, it represents all those, the conglomeration of all those empires. Man's endeavor. And you're saying we live in a time, actually, where all of those empires pretty well touch us as humanity. Okay? So my point is that the endeavors of man to live without God brought about at and culminating in that last empire. When will Jesus, that stone, when will he come and when will he destroy all the endeavors of man to live without God in the time of that last one? So that number six, it's the number of man. It's the number of man trying to live without God. It's the number of man rejecting God. It's the number of man building societies that they believe will last apart from God. They just can't. It's not possible. So that's part of the way I look at that, because I don't know. I don't see a name there. Will it someday reveal a name? It certainly could. But we don't have that. We don't have that information right now. So when it says, let him have wisdom, you also have to wonder, is he talking to us, or is he talking to those who will be there at that day that they'll know? Ken?
But in my translation, it says number of a man.
Mm-hmm.
And his number is 666. So you're saying there's no definitive thing what this 666 represents or why they...
No, I said I don't know who it is.
Okay, so that the 666 is there, but we don't know who the specific man is.
He's Antichrist, but
yeah,
but we don't know who he is. Yeah.
Okay.
What's the Antichrist going to do? The point is that he's going to continue what's represented in that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. That's why it says at the end it will be that the feet, the iron and clay mix, the 10 toes, the 10 kings and stuff like that. That system, because remember I've told you that, the beast is the Antichrist. The beast is also the system. In the same way that Babylon was Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar was Babylon. Does that make sense to you what I just said? So when we get to the last system, you think about it, the last world system is referred to as the beast, and also Antichrist referred to. There's no difference. So it speaks of like Nebuchadnezzar, he's in complete control from a worldly perspective. Even Nebuchadnezzar, when he was the monarch of the world, we saw very quickly, he wasn't in complete control, because when God said, you're crazy, guess what? He was crazy. Okay. Same way with Antichrist. Antichrist is given, allowed to have complete control. But we understand, again, from an eternal perspective, there's no being, there's no man, there's no person that ever has complete control, because God is sovereign. Okay? So there's not going to be a distinction or a difference, I think, in the last days between the beast, which is the system, and the beast, which is the man. It's the same thing. He's the same thing. So again, be very careful when someone tells you, I know what 666, who 666 refers to today. A lot of names have been attached to that. Maybe your name has been attached to that. I don't know. You know, yes.
Doesn't that represent the unholy Trinity?
It certainly could. It certainly could. The same way that seven speaks of perfection. Again, I don't know how far to take that. I don't want to move into numerology, but at the same time, I don't think it's numerology to say there are certainly numbers in the Bible that represent things over and over. Three, the Trinity, and stuff like seven, perfection, completion. The Bible says that. When the Bible says something like that, we ought to take it. We have to be careful not to pour in numerology and so on. But we see here, the number is the number of man, which, again, contrary to God, certainly could represent the unholy Trinity. That's an interesting thought that I didn't even think about as I was looking at this. Certainly could.
You get a star goes.
Yeah, there's another star goes down. So, all right, we're out of time. We're going to close chapter 13. I just want to, again, warn you, there has to be a warning. Be very careful to not let the news start creating things in your mind. Christians have done that through the last several years or stuff, and find out before long that who they thought it was, what they thought it was not what it was. And then we have to apologize to the world. Our call is to keep our eyes upon the Lord. The other thing is be aware. This is not conspiratorial. This is reality. Satan hates you. He hates your Lord, and he hates the Lord's church. And through the history of the church, he does everything he can to divide. I want you to see it. I want you to see what's going on today as another endeavor of the enemy to try to divide the church. Because he never ceases. He never ceases. He's a deceiver. So keep your eyes on Jesus, recognize what the enemy's doing, and love one another just like Jesus said to do. Okay? Let's pray together and we'll close. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for our time together, for the sharing that's taking place, and Father, for those things that we don't have clear understanding of yet. Help us just to trust you. Lord, your hand is never withheld from that which you have planned to accomplish and with that which you will accomplish. So by faith, let us trust you as we live the days you've appointed for us. And Father, we pray for those that we know, that we love, and even those we haven't met yet that need to come to faith. So Lord, that they would not have to face any of the things that we've talked about. Lord, help us not to be driven by fear, no matter what the stimulus is or the stimuli is that tries to create fear within us. And help us to love one another as you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, online. God bless. Merry Christmas. Don't forget to join us on Friday, either online or in person. We'd love to have you. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
This here doesn't work. Sorry.